our mess and turn it into a miracle. We serve a
God that can take our heartache and turn it into happiness. Amen. That's the kind of God we serve. For we know, not we think, but we know that all things work together for good. Them that love God, them that are called according to His purpose. The book of Psalm tonight, Psalm chapter number 55. And we'll get a springboard right there and be off and running. Psalm chapter number 55, verse number 16. And we'll read just one verse, verse number 16 there, and we'll, I promise we will be in the Word. We'll mainly be in the book of Psalm here tonight, but we will use the Bible. In Psalm chapter number 15, verse number 16, the Bible says there, "As for me, I will call upon God, and the Lord shall save me." Lord, we do love you. Thank you tonight for loving us. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity we have one more time to stand in this place behind this sacred desk. Lord, we don't take it lightly. And Lord, we ask for your help. I pray, God, that you would empower me, enable me to do that which you've called me to do. I pray tonight, Lord, Holy Spirit of God, you'd anoint this place. Thou art invited. Lord, we don't want to do it alone. We want to stand only in your presence. I pray that you would hide me behind the cross of Christ. Help me to say everything that needs to be said and nothing that does not. Above all things, we want to be sure to give you all the praise, the honor, and the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. One of the things you learn as a Bible student, you study the Bible. There are a lot of ways to study the Bible, and I love studying it several different ways. I love studying the Bible, of course, just expositorily, or we could say just breaking down a passage, and I can use some other big words for it, but the exegesis and those things. But we like studying the Bible that way, but two, we love studying topically, historically. Thematically is one of my favorite ways of studying the Bible, but one of the things you learn as a Bible student is whenever you see a word or you see a phrase repeated throughout the Scripture, there's always significance to it. Who knows, the Lord never repeats Himself by accident. But there's always significance to it, and that's especially true if that word or that phrase is repeated over and over in the same book of the Bible, and especially by the same author. In fact, one of the great ways to study the Word of God is to look for these patterns, a word that continually comes up, or especially a phrase that continually comes up by the same author or in the same book. And when you find them, it's important to try and figure out what it is that the Lord's trying to tell you. What is it that God wants to say to me by this pattern? And when you find it, you need to try and figure that out. And when you study the book of Psalm, you find that David had coined a certain phrase. It was not by accident, and he used this phrase multiple times throughout the Word of God. It's the phrase we find, the verse 3 words here in verse number 16. Watch this. "As for me." Now, David did not just use this phrase often or many times because he just liked the ring of it or liked the way it sounded. He wasn't just simply using vain repetition, but David used this phrase on purpose and for a specific reason. It was not just that he liked the sound of it, but when you study out the different times this phrase is found in the book of Psalms here, we find that this phrase, watch this, is always followed by principles. It's always followed by a profound truth. In fact, it's always followed, watch this, by the principles that governed David's life. Who knows that it's a good thing for your life to be governed by some principles? Very important that there's some things that we stand by and we live by and we stand on. These are principles that guide our life. And David had them, and I hope that you have them as well. There are many principles I have. I can't give you all of them, but there are many principles that I have that I like to stand on, here I stand, I will not deviate. This is a principle in my life. Always give your best. Never settle for less. Now, I'm not telling you that every single time and every effort I've done that, but I'm telling you this, by and large, I try and do that. Always give your best. Never settle for less. Tell the truth, even when it hurts. Honesty. Just be honest. Sometimes let's be honest. It's no fun to be honest. But we need honesty, right? The truth will set you free. Die to self. If there's one principle that I want my life to be guided by, it's that principle. As most of you know, my life, 1 Galatians 2:20, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet it's not I, but Christ liveth in me. And now the life that I now live in the flesh, I live it by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. If there's one principle that you want to live your life by, make it die to self. You can't go wrong. Oh, it solves so many problems. You won't be in near as many arguments. You won't have near as much confrontation. It's hard to offend a dead man. Right? Die to self. Do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. Who knows, all these are Bible principles. There's so many things that I want my life to be guided by. Dance with the one who brought you. Now you say, what in the world? Now I don't dance, all right? I might cut a rug in a minute. I don't dance. But here's what I'm saying. Be loyal to that. Now here's the thing. Sometimes the one that brought you can't dance. If they can dance, I'll dance with the one that brought me. But if they can, I'll find somebody else. Dance with the one that brought you. Don't eat the yellow snow. Right? But David had some principles that governed his life. In other words, he had some things settled in his life. Watch this. The psalmist, the sweet psalmist of Israel, had some things settled in his life regarding decisions he would make. And regarding the life that he would live, these things were things that were not up for questioning. These things in David's life, watch this, as we'll find out as we begin to look through the book of Psalms, that these were not things that were up for negotiation. These weren't things that he wasn't settled on. They were not things that he thought, well, I'm wishy-washy, and maybe I will and maybe I won't. But these were things that guided his life. David said, but as for me, things that, in other words, David said, you have to make your own choice. But as for me, I've already made mine. This is where I stand, and the decision's already been made. On March the 20th, 1775, was the great statesman Patrick Henry that stood in a little church building. Many of you know the story. They're in Richmond, Virginia, with other founding fathers. So they stood there as they was trying to decide whether or not they would gather together and form this militia to protect against the British that were coming. And they were there in that church building deciding what they would do. And are they going to do the militia? Are they going to form this coalition and militia and people group to go out and defend themselves? And Patrick Henry got tired of all the finagling. He got tired of all the delaying, and so he comes up with that speech that was come to known as the famous speech, and he ends it with these words, I don't know what others will do, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death. He said, as for me. You see, this was a man that knew where he stood. This was a man that didn't have to wonder or worry. This was a man that was not undecided, but he said, give me liberty or give me death. And everyone else knew where Patrick Henry stood as well. I wonder tonight, do people know what principles you stand on? Do they know what principles that your life is guided by? This would be the speech that would ultimately usher in the Revolutionary War. What a great speech it was. And it's my desire tonight that every single one of us will have that same kind of resolve regarding the principles that guide our life. Now, I totally understand tonight I'm preaching to a Sunday night crowd. I'm preaching to a group of people that many of you have been in church since you've been born, or maybe even before you were born. Many of you have grown up in a Christian home. Some of you maybe even went to Christian school or Christian Bible colleges. And the truth is tonight, at this point in your life, there are some things that you ought to have your mind made up about. At this point in the stage of life, in the stage of the game, there's some things that ought to not be up for negotiation, but ought to be settled in your life. The psalmist here addresses seven key areas of life in Christian living. And tonight I want to challenge you to consider these same seven key areas of life, that if you haven't done so, you'll make up your mind tonight to make a decision in these seven areas, as for me. As for me. Now, in truth, I've got 7 points, but I promise it's going to go quick. All right? Number one, conversion. Conversion, very simply. Verse number 16 again. As for me, I will call upon God, and the Lord shall save me. Once again, I know I'm preaching to a Sunday night crowd. But I've seen a lot of people get saved in Sunday night services. I've seen a lot of people, and they wouldn't go forward with all those others and all the emotionalism or all the it seemed like we're more proper in the morning than we are at night and all that, and the stress involved with it wouldn't come forward. But on Sunday night, God spoke to them right where they sat. I hope tonight that you've resolved, and I hope tonight that you've made the decision to trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, and you would say tonight, as for me, I'm going to trust the Lord. As for me, I'm going to give my heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. I wonder tonight, do you have salvation settled? You know, what a tragedy it would be, so much more so than someone living out in the world. What a tragedy it would be tonight for somebody who's grown up in church, somebody who knows what the Bible says, somebody who's heard it over and over and over again, still to die and to wake up in the devil's hell and be anything worse than that. I believe you'll remember every single plea that this preacher made. I believe you'll be here every single, you'll remember every single time that we pleaded with you to come to Jesus, accept Christ as your Savior, have your sins forgiven. Oh, listen, there's memory in hell. The rich man cried out. You know what Abraham said to him? Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest good things. Likewise, Lazarus, evil things. But behold, he's comforted and thou art tormented. We're going to remember. I hope you've settled salvation and you'd say, as for me, I'm going to trust Christ. Number one, as for me, a decision about conversion. Then notice secondly, go with me to Psalm chapter 26, verse 11. Not only a decision regarding conversion, but I hope you've made a decision and that your life's guided by some principles that have to do with conduct. Look what the Bible says in verse number 11. You ought to circle all of these and maybe even put references and tie them together, because I'm telling you, seven principles that guided the psalmist's life right here. Verse number 11, watch what he says. But as for me, there it is again. Watch what he says. I will walk in mine integrity. Can I just be real with you tonight? This is an area right here that we need some Christians that aren't wishy-washy about. As for me, the psalmist said, I will walk in mine integrity. You know, it's a sad state that I've talked, and you have too. I've talked to so many people. Do they use it for excuse? Sure, certain ones do. But I've talked to so many people that tell me, preacher, I'd rather do business with anybody than a Christian. There's a lot of people out there like that. Oh, I can name them. I can tell you many folks that have told me that they'd rather do business with anybody than a Christian. They'd rather be. And that's what a sad thing that is. Oh, that some Christians would resolve tonight and they would say, listen, I don't know what everybody else is going to do, and I don't know how everybody else is going to act. Oh, I think about so many men that I know and respected so greatly, but they've fallen by the wayside in some kind of immoral sin or something else, or they've just gotten lazy and gotten out of the race and they've dropped out on God. But I can't do anything about that. Yes, it hurts us. Yes, it bothers us. Oh, yes, it hinders us. But listen, I can say tonight, as for me, I'm going to walk in mine integrity. We need some Christians tonight that'll make that decision deep down in their heart. Listen, you're on a job, and you know good and well how those people on that job, they're told and they're asked to do things that is not right, that is not godly, that is not of God, and you don't have to decide for them, but you have to decide for you. Are you going to be one that tucks tails and folds to the pressure that you have from that employer? Can God not take care of you and do it the right way? I'm saying tonight, listen, be somebody that says, as for me, I'm going to walk in integrity. I'm going to live right. I'm going to do right. Be very careful about following the crowd, even the religious crowd. I tell you what's happened in our churches. We'll find somebody that many people respect. And what we'll do is we'll latch onto their coattail. And we'll go as far as they go. And we're just there with the crowd. And we walk with the crowd, and we're doing good, we're doing all right, because we're measuring ourselves by that person and by that group of people. Oh, thank God for the woman who the Bible says, that woman with the issue of blood, she pressed through the crowd. She pushed past the pride. She got past the obstacles. Guess what? She got past that religious crowd. She said, honey, I'm getting to Jesus. I know what everybody else is going to do, but as for me, I'm getting a hold of the hem of his garment. We need some Christians tonight that have that desire. They want to live close to Jesus and live right for the Lord Jesus. It's amazing to me, people. You get on social media for any amount of time at all, and you've got the same people on yours. They're posting Bible verses. The next hour or the next day, they've got half nudity on there and cursing. The Bible says that blessing and cursing ought to not come forth out of the same mouth. Listen to me. There's a whole lot of testimonies being ruined every single day. Respect is being lost for so many people because of social media. People hide behind that computer as if the whole world can't see and know what you're saying and what you're doing. You better learn how to be a person in integrity. First of all, if you're not a person of integrity in public, you're certainly not going to be in the private. But you better learn, listen, how to maintain your integrity when you get behind that computer or get behind that phone. God's the same God. He expects the same thing from you and I. Oh, he said, I'll walk in mine integrity. God, help us. You ought to go tonight and check out the people that you're following. They're following you or friends or whatever. And if people putting stuff on there, and when you see it, if it's got a curse word, you're out of here, man. If it's got something you don't want to look at, you're out of here, man. Wouldn't hurt to just disconnect the thing altogether. I'll never get on it anyway. Conversion, conduct. I want you to notice the third thing. Go with me to Psalm 35, verse number 13. These are principles that the psalmist's life was guided by. Psalm 35, verse number 13. Not only conversion, not only conduct, but concern. He made some decisions about concern. Look what he says in Psalm 35, verse 13. But as for me, there it is again. When they were sick, my clothing was sackcloth. I humbled my soul with fasting, and my prayer returned into mine own bosom. You know what he said? I'm going to be concerned about others. He said when they were sick. Look up here just a minute. When's the last time? He said, I fasted. That's more than a 5-minute Mickey Mouse prayer. When's the last time you truly spent some time on your knees? I'm talking about you stopped what you're doing. I'm talking about you put yourself out and you had other things going. Or maybe you was hungry and needed to eat. But when's the last time that somebody was in need and somebody was hurting, or there's a problem in their marriage or a problem in their home, or they had a wayward child? When's the last time you stopped and prayed for that person? He says there in verse number 13, but as for me, when they were sick, my clothing was sackcloth. Oh, he rent his clothes. I humbled my soul with fasting, and my prayer returned to my bosom. When's the last time? Notice verse number 14. This is amazing. I behave. It's almost like he's got a facetious sense of humor here. I behaved myself as though he had been my friend or brother. Well. He behaved himself as if this person was his friend or brother. Who knows you ought to treat one another like a friend or brother? Who knows many times we don't behave ourselves toward other people like they're a friend or brother? He says, I behave myself like they were one of my friends. You know, it'd be amazing the difference it would make in people's lives and the difference it would make even in this church if we would behave ourselves like they were our friends or brethren. It caused people to take note. We live in such a self-centered world, a world that's all about me. We live in a world where people won't stop for anything, and people, man, it's all about me and mine, and if it's not in my family, or if it's not in my home, or if it doesn't affect me, I really don't care anything about it. We no longer stop. We no longer tarry for anything. This is something that God's really been pressing upon me, and I'm talking about when everything, even when it comes to our church services, we don't tarry for anything. Let's hurry up, let's get through our three songs, and then let's get the preacher up so we can get out of here and get down here to the steakhouse. Listen, folks, we got to tarry if we want God to get in on what he wants to get in on. We don't tarry for anything. We're such self-centered people. Well, I'm going to slow down and I'm going to take time to pray. I'm going to take time to care for other people. He says, as for me, when they were sick, I stopped what I was doing. I acted like they were my friend. I behaved myself as though it had been my friend or my brethren. My brother, I bowed down heavily as one that mourneth. Watch what he says. As one that mourneth for his mother. Now think about that. You got to, maybe it's a friend at work. Especially if it's somebody at church, somebody that's a friend in Christ. If we were to stop and pray for that person like it's our mother. That's what he said. Just like I mourneth for my mother. If we were to treat them with the same concern that we would treat it if it was our mother laying there in that bed sick. If it was our mother that had that financial difficulty. If it was that mother that was going through a failing marriage. If it was that mother that was dealing with the temptation. Whatever the case may be. If we would treat them like they were our mother. It's the concern David said. He said, this is a principle I live my life by. I'm going to be concerned with others. Do you notice the fourth thing? Go with me to Psalm chapter 5. He says, conversion. As for me, I've made up my mind. I'm going to be saved. Then he says, for conduct, I'm going to walk in integrity. Then for concern, he says, I'm going to love other people. And then Psalm chapter number 5. Look with me at verse number 7. But as for me, I will come into thy house in the multitude of thy mercy, and in thy fear will I worship toward thy holy temple. Consecration. David said, I'm committed to worshiping and reverencing my God. A lot of young people, several here tonight, that soon you'll be making your own decisions. Some of you maybe have already made some. Soon, mama and daddy won't be there. Youth pastor won't be there. Preacher won't be there. All those good influences won't be there. You'll have some decisions that you've got to make on your own. I hope that you've already made up your mind that worshiping the Lord is important. That coming to church is important. That honoring God with the first fruits is important. That reading your Bible is important. Amen. That worshiping the Lord is important. Listen, if you want a truly blessed life, it's only found in putting Christ first and in reverencing Him. I'm encouraged as I look around and at our church today, and I'm encouraged by these young people we have at Crossroads. I truly am. I mean, praise the Lord. It's not like this everywhere. I'm encouraged by this great college career group that we have and that are here tonight. They're here this morning. They're here tonight. They're going to be here on Wednesday night, and they're serving all throughout the church. Praise the Lord for it. I want to tell you something. It's few and far between a church this size to have a group of people that age, that many. And so we praise the Lord and we commend you for that. But I'll say this, never fall into the trap of this, quote, praise and worship stuff that in reality only praises and worships self. Never fall into that mess. Oh, never lose the awe of coming into the house of God and praising and worshiping our Lord and Savior the way He's told us to. How did He tell us to? In song. Sing unto the Lord. All throughout the Word of God. In song. How do we praise? How do we worship the Lord? In shouting. Now. Somebody just get nervous right now. Somebody's getting all tore up. I'm talking about somebody is getting... I want you to go with me a couple places. Go with me to Psalm chapter 98. Psalm chapter 98. You see, we live in this world where I believe so many people have... They come to the house of God so reserved. We have so many people that think that their lot in life is that people would maybe see them but never hear them. That is not God's plan for you, my friend, especially when you enter into the house of God. David said there, we just read it, when I enter into thy holy temple, boy, I'm going to worship the Lord, I'm going to praise the Lord, and He's going to know I'm there. Look what it says, Psalm 98, verse 4. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all the earth. Uh-oh, underline this. Make a loud noise. Well, preacher just preaches too loud. That music's too loud. They shout too loud. Well, listen, you need to either tear that page out of your Bible or just conform to what God said. God says right here, make a joyful noise and make a loud noise and rejoice and sing praise. That's what the Word of God says. Oh, yes. Go with me to Psalm chapter number 47. I'm going to make you more nervous tonight. Psalm chapter 47. Praise God, you did enter a Baptist church. Just sit in a Methodist church or a Presbyterian church. We're still Baptists. Psalm 47, verse 1. Look what the Bible says. Oh, clap your hands. Well, preacher, I don't know about that. That's just in the flesh. That's just, oh, clap your hands. What the Bible says. Oh, clap your hands, all ye people. Watch this. Shout unto God with the voice of triumph. You, what does that mean? He says, shout with the voice of triumph. Now, I'm going to tell you something. If we hear any shouting many times, it certainly ain't the voice of triumph, because the voice of triumph means we won. And I'm going to tell you this. I've seen some of you when your ball team wins the game, and it doesn't sound like it sounds when you shout for the Lord, because listen, when you shout from the triumph, you're shouting from the win, and some of you need to figure out that we've already won. Thank God, I'm glad we're on the winning side. We need to act like it. He says, shout the voice of triumph. Psalm 511, you can go back there. The Bible says, but let all those that put their trust in thee. Now, I'm going to ask you something. Have you put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you saved? If you are, here's what the psalmist tells us. Let all those that put their trust in thee rejoice. Let them ever shout for joy. Because thou defendest them, let them also that love thy name be joyful in thee. Let me ask you something. When you come into the house of God, do you come into the house of God ready to sing? Do you come into the house of God ready to shout? Do you come into the house of God being joyful and rejoicing? Because if you do not, then you're missing the worship that God says, I want you to come and give to me. Never miss the worship of singing. Never miss the worship of shouting to the Lord. And the Lord, listen, when you come in to the house of God, make up your mind tonight. Make up your mind right now. From henceforward, I ain't going to come in the house of God and be silent anymore. They're going to know. God's going to know I'm there. Never miss the opportunity. Make up your mind. As for me, when I come in the house of God, I'm going to come and worship with singing. You know what that means? God, help us. Get a song book. Watch this. I'm going to help you tonight. This is tough stuff, but I'm going to help you. Open it. Open it up. Brother Jim gets up and says, turn to page 171. Turn to page whatever it is. You turn to that page, and I'm talking about you lift your voice and you sing like you're singing from the triumph. You sing like you're singing from the win. You sing like they've just won the ending score. They've just won the winning score in the Super Bowl of life, in the Super Bowl of all times, for all eternity. And you sing it out, and you sing it out for the Lord. Make a joyful noise. Shout. Make a loud noise. Well, preacher, all that noise, all that emotionalism, then get you another Bible. Because that's what your Bible says. Shout. Sing. There's not anything wrong with it. In fact, it's all right. It's wrong when you don't. I'm going to tell you, when you come to the house of God, he said, I'm going to worship him in singing and in shouting. Something that, it's way too quiet around here sometimes. Listen, if we won, that'd be a good time, by the way, to shout amen. It's way too quiet around here sometimes. God, help us. We'd come in and look like we're fixing to be in a coma, or look like, and I'll promise you this, listen, number one, it's not my job to cheerlead. It's not my job to come in here and pump you up. It's not my job to come in here and lift your spirits. It's not my, well, let's see, sit down and say, well, preacher, just sit down and got your arms crossed out here. Preacher, bless me if you can, bless God. Listen, it ain't my job to cheerlead. If God's not enough for you to be excited, I'm sorry for you. Oh, yes, listen. He says, come in and shout and sing. Psalm 32, verse number 11. You don't have to turn there. You can if you want. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, ye righteous, and shout for joy, all ye that are upright in heart. The psalmist said, as for me in my house, I'm going to serve the Lord. The psalmist said, as for me, when I come in the house, I'm going to worship God. Have you ever made it to a point? Have you ever made a decree? Have you ever made a decision as you're up in the morning, Sunday morning, and you're getting ready for church, and you're getting all your Sunday best on so everybody can see you, and you're getting your Bible, making sure it's there, and you're ready to come to the house of God? Has it ever, even one time, ever crossed your mind, boy, when I get in there today, I'm going to worship the Lord? When I get in the house of God today, I'm gonna sing for the Lord. I'm gonna shout for the Lord, and I'm gonna let it be known that I love my Savior. I'm gonna sing, I'm gonna shout, listen to me. And if you come to church and don't sing and don't shout, I'm gonna help you, then you didn't worship. That's what the Bible says. If you come in the house of God and you didn't lift your voice in song, you're not preaching, I am. What'd you do? You didn't worship God, because if you worshiped Him, you'd be singing and you'd be shouting and you'd be praising the one who's worthy of all praise. Don't you ever praise me. You ain't shouting for me. You're shouting for Him. And He's worthy of it all. Well, let's move on. Did you notice another thing? Go to Psalm 41. These are some principles that guided David's life. He said, well, I'll never enter in the house of God and not worship. Psalm 41, verse number 12. Something else that guided his life was confidence. And as for me, thou upholdest me in mine integrity, settest me before thy face forever. Oh, what a wonderful truth. He said, thou, God, you. His confidence was in the Lord. Thou upholdest me in thine integrity. Philippians 1:6, one of my favorite verses. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you shall perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. David was saying, like Paul, I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able. He is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. Romans 8:37, nay, and all these things were more than conquerors. How? Through him that loved us. Our confidence is not in us. Our confidence is in the Lord. He says here in Psalm 41 verse 12, thou upholdest me in mine integrity. I want to encourage every single person here tonight. I want to encourage every single one of those that you'll be graduating soon. Every single one of those, it won't be long. Even some of you that think it's going to be a long time, it's going to be pretty soon. Every single one of you new married couples, newly married, haven't been married very long. Every single one of you who are soon to be parents and fixing to have that first little precious child, whatever situation you find yourself in, oh, as that baby comes and as that marriage comes and begins to you go further and further, and you've been 2, 3, 4, 5 years, and all the problems and the things that'll come and happen, listen to me, never lose your confidence in an almighty God. David said, it's a principle that guides my life. He'll always be there. Know that he's always enough. Know that he's always sufficient. Well, this ain't working, that ain't working. We're going to have to go find something else to do and get out of this church thing. Get out of this religion thing. Listen to me. He's enough. His grace is always sufficient. You just put your confidence in Him and let it rest in Him, and everything else will be all right. Many of you are entering new chapters of life, and eventually you'll... Some will face this world on their own that they've never done that. Some will face this world as new parents, as we mentioned, or maybe newly married, as mentioned. Always know that you're never alone. He's upholding you and helping you maintain your integrity, the Bible says. Did you notice another thing? Guided David's life. Contact. Go with me to Psalm 69. Psalm chapter number 69. Look what he says in verse number 13. But as for me, watch this. My prayer is unto thee. My prayer is unto thee. O Lord, in an acceptable time, O God, in the multitude of thy mercy, hear me in the truth of thy salvation. You know what David said? He said, I want to be a person that makes contact unto thee, he said. I want to be a person that resolved to be a person of prayer. If you had to pick, I know it can be overwhelming sometimes, this Christian life. We're so busy. It's a shame we're too busy for God, but let's just face it, many times we are. But I'm going to be straight up honest with you tonight. If you could do one thing to help your Christian life, make it prayer. Preacher, you need to read the Bible. No doubt, I'm not minimizing that at all. You're going to get Bible in Sunday school, you're going to get Bible. And hey, listen, you need to read your Bible. You will never grow more. You'll never come closer to the Lord than ever than that intimate time you have with Him in prayer. I'm talking about real prayer. The effectual, fervent prayer. I'm not talking about that Mickey Mouse prayer everybody else is around. I'm talking about you get you a prayer closet. You get you a place. You go out in a field back there and you pray, let the cows hear you and moo, whatever the case may be. I'm telling you, you go and get a hold of God. If you ever get a hold of Him really one time, you'll want to get a hold of Him again. You be a person of prayer. The psalmist said here, my prayer is unto thee. So many times we're praying for things, quote, in the very general, generic sense of prayer. Prayer is just asking. He said, my prayer is unto thee. We're asking everybody else and everything else and trying it every other way. The psalmist said, I'm going to make contact. I'm going to contact heaven. Another place he says, morning, noon, and at night will I pray. He had a principled prayer life. He planned to pray. I want you to notice the final thing tonight. Something that guided David's life, a principle. Go to Psalm 17. And this one, we need to always be mindful of. It's consummation. Psalm 17. Look with me at verse number 15. As for me, watch this now, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness. Consummation. You know what David lived with, the principle? David lived with the ideology, the expectation of looking for that blessed hope. He said, as for me, look at it, I will behold thy face. He didn't say I might. He didn't say maybe. He said, I will behold. Jesus, I'm going to see you face to face. This is a principle that helped to guide David's life, because I'm going to tell you something. When we stay mindful of the fact one day we're going to stand before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, one day we got to stand before the one with the nail prints in his hands who was wounded for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we were healed, and we look at him who was wounded for us. We think about what he's done for us. He says, one day, as for me, I'll behold thy face in righteousness. I love this. I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness. You may never wake up a day in your life, in this life, 100% completely satisfied. Probably won't. Man that's born of woman's a few days and full of trouble. Probably won't. There's so many things to dissatisfy us, right? But he said, praise God, the day's coming. Satisfaction's coming. That blessed hope is coming. And we ought to learn to live every day of our life with anticipation of the day we see Jesus face to face, whether by the rapture or whether it's by the grave. Listen to me. When you live with an eternal perspective, when you live with the realization that soon you'll be face to face with our blessed Lord, listen to me, it affects your actions. It affects your attitude. It affects your entire way of living when we have that blessed hope and that eternal perspective. We need to always keep eternity in view in how we live our life. It ought to be a principle. I truly hope tonight that every one of you can say regarding these seven different principles and areas of life, as for me, this is where I stand specifically. As for me, I'm saved. As for me, my conduct's going to always be seasoned with salt. Or my speech will be seasoned with salt. My conduct will always be with integrity. As for me, this is where I stand. Because as some of you maybe go off to college, go off to the workforce, some of you already in that. Some of you will be newly married. Some of you will begin to have children and all the things that comes with just moving forward in your life. Others will begin that new life in some new way. Listen, you're going to hear many different views. You're going to hear many different people talk about many different things and many different ways that you can live life. And I want to tell you something. You better have some as for me's already established in your life. You better have some things already nailed down before it ever comes to that time. You better listen to the ones that will be going off and maybe to some school or going off. I know we got several, and like I said, some of you aren't far away. You'll be going off. And to those who are fixing to have the great responsibility of raising a child, and there better be some principles that you've already established, some principles that you plan to live by. Some things that you say, as for me. Joshua said, as for me and my house. Dads, better be some principles. I'm telling you, you say, well, we're fixing to have this little child. You don't have a clue of the great responsibility of trusting God's putting a life in your hands. Through the wounds, His reward. You don't take it lightly. There better be some principles we've already established. Tonight, as we stand for prayer,